Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Right over there. And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy because they've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely and charming
Dawn. Totally neurotic and hectic and out of my mind today.
Diane is claiming a bad hair day. She's stressed out because she's having a bad hair day. So we should just keep the camera on me all day long because I am incredibly handsome. I can be more beautiful than all of them together, and I will make up for the
bad hair day.
For the lack. Joining me also, the amazing Philip James Unger.
That's very. Oh, you just look like an Al Qaeda.
He's creepy.
Member.
Everybody's looking creepy today, except for me. I'm incredible.
Everybody's looking creepy today. Thanks. That really just helped my meltdown. Thank you, Mr. Unger.
Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly, immeasurably boring show. This is a show that handles your marital challenges, your relational conundrums, and your dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us an email about anything and remain a totally anonymous. But then we are brutally honest. This is the show of brutal honesty. If you want someone who's going to be sensitive to how you feel, email somebody else. Because we just don't take any feelings into consideration, which is a very unusual show. I understand it. But I think in the sea, overwhelming sea of Christian broadcasting and opinions that all they care about is how everybody feels, we don't care about how you feel. This is just a show about we're going to tell you what we think. It's just as simple. We don't know who you are. You could be a relative. You can be my wife. I have no
idea.
We
don't know.
All right, so
I know, but
just relax. We promise to be really, really, really straightforward with you, and I make an even stronger promise.
I swear I will not kill anyone.
If we think that you need to awaken from your delusions, we will stick your head in the toilet and give you a swirly. Nothing like a swirly in the morning. That's what you need this morning to awaken yourself out of your delusions. If we think you're crazy, you'll get the goat button. And if you blather on with too many unnecessary, unconnected details, it's amazing how many people will do that.
Pages.
They will just pages of stuff that have nothing to do with anything. If you do too much of that, you will also get the chicken. You get all three, you're officially crazy. All right, my dear.
I'm officially crazy today.
Our vision of glory.
Stop
and
that.
Beauty.
What? Now you're just mocking me.
Me? No, I would never mock anyone.
You're just mocking me.
All right.
The problem is that this post-chemo hair, I just hate it. And I have to get it grown out and I have to deal with it, but I'm just having issues.
That's my problem. I have post-chemo hair. Oh, wait.
Pre-chemo.
I have pre-chemo hair.
You have no chemo hair. Dang. I'll get over it, you know? Okay.
All right, sweetie.
All right, the first story today, 4 expectations that can injure a good marriage.
Hair. Number one.
Expecting someone to actually have hair and have good hair. Okay.
All right.
The first one, unspoken expectations.
How do you know they're unspoken expectations if you've never spoken them?
Mm-hmm.
So how do they know?
When the couple never lays out their expectations in the marriage, one spouse or the other will be disappointed at some point. A lot of couples assume they are on the same page until a problem arises where they find out otherwise.
Do you know why people do this? Because there's this delusional concept of relationships that comes out of Hollywood that says, if you truly loved me, you would know.
You would just know.
And it's crazy. Truth is, people can love you and still have no idea what it is that you want. Mm-hmm. And you have to communicate. habla inglés, or whatever language you're from.
Which leads us to the next one.
Yes.
Unclear expectations.
Unspoken.
And then when you speak them, you are unclear about them.
Yes.
When the couple thinks they've communicated their expectations, but they didn't use language the other one could understand. Everyone communicates differently. Expectations must be clear, and many times they have to be tested before we understand them.
Yes. I'm looking for my Beatitudes book. I guess I don't have one here, huh?
I thought there was one down here.
You'd think I'd buy one of my own books. Anyway, I write about this, about being clear. You need to be clear. People think they're being clear. Usually the most emotive person always thinks they're being clear when they're not. Unfortunately, stereotypically speaking, generalization is it's a woman. But not always. A lot of times it is the man who's the more emotive, blah, 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 feely-touchy talking. Guess who that is in my marriage? And I know this well because I have this problem. And I am convinced I couldn't possibly be more clear. When in fact, she has no idea what I'm trying to say. If you're super emotive, you need to stop and realize that little hints and this and that, rolling the eyes and sighing and whatever, is not being clear. You need to tell them.
Here's a newsflash for you. Most of us don't know what you want and what you're talking about.
That's a different problem. It's because I'm a rambling moron.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
The third expectation is the unmet expectation.
Phil knows what I want.
When the couple had clear...
Phil always knows what I want.
He does.
Seriously.
Or I'll just tell him what he wants.
That's why. He tells
that might be what it
he
is.
Wants.
He controls me. He's got me wrapped around his little finger. But
you
seriously,
this,
nobody
you,
understands me better than he does. I don't know why. I don't know why. He can translate Gunger talk, or not specifically Markey talk. We'll be in staff meeting, and I'm rambling on, and he can tell no one knows how to talk, because he's usually pretty quiet. And then he'll go, what he's trying to say
is, body, body, blah.
And then, and I can see them, and they're, as soon as he finishes, they all go, oh, okay. I think, really? Is it that bad?
It's the speaking in tongues, and then it's the
interpretation of tongues. It is the tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's what we have here, father and son.
Spirit of discernment.
Okay, so even...
Spirit of discernment.
That's right. Even if you...
He does tell me what to think, though.
I know he does. Okay, so even if you clearly...
And 98% of the time he succeeds, and I know he's doing it. And I know he's doing it, and I can't stop it. I remember one time walking in his office thinking, I know he's going to want a B, but I'm doing A. I know my son. He's going to talk me into B, but I'm going, and we're going to do A. 10 minutes later, I'm walking out of his office going, you know, B really is a better idea.
How'd that happen?
Because I'm like, you know, like in Star Wars, you know, the Jedi Knights get over weak-minded people.
I think he has powers of hypnosis.
This is not the plan you're looking for.
This is not...
These are not the droids
you're looking for. Okay, you can talk about number three now.
Number three, unmet expectations. When the couple has clear expectations, everyone understood them. They've even been tested, but one spouse isn't holding up their end of the deal.
Okay, so after you've made expectations clear, they just don't meet them.
Yes.
So you've got unspoken,
which
is a real problem. Unclear, which you stumble over all the time. And then these are clear, but nobody does them.
Or one person does.
Or wasn't. Okay. And that happens a lot, too.
Yes.
All right.
Unrealistic expectations. When the couple has expectations that are impossible for the other spouse to meet. Our spouse is not our savior, not perfect, can't read minds, and will make mistakes.
I don't know. Some of us tend to be on the perfect side.
Of course we do. And we know who they are, don't we?
We know. Though? Well, you can tell, because every time I walk into the room, suddenly you just hear. How can I be wrong?
That's because you're playing it, though.
All right. Enough of this nonsense. We will be back with your... Be back. Blah, blah, blah. We will be back with your emails. Talk about being clear. I can't even talk. We'll be back with your emails right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
You're back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails about said subjects.
First email is from a woman. She says, I hope you can give me some biblical advice. I suffer from unwanted dreams. Sinful dreams. I dream of being in love and or having sex with other men. Most of the times, it's someone I don't know, and sometimes I know I am married in the dream, but most of the time, I don't even know my husband in the dream.
Uh-huh.
This has been going on for several years. I hate this. I am married 8 years to a wonderful man whom I would never trade for anyone, and I have never desired to cheat. I love my husband very much. How can I stop these unwanted dreams from happening? I feel like I am being tormented.
Unwanted dreams. Well, first of all, your first problem is you assume I have an answer.
Aren't you the answer man?
Well, I don't know. What's
the biblical advice on that?
On dreams? I don't know if there's any biblical advice on dreams.
Go find Joseph.
Yeah, I have no idea. I guess. I don't know. Anybody have any suggestions? Boy, stumped. But she gets an award when she can get all three of us not
well,
to say anything.
Well, have you not that had dreams that you woke up and went, what the heck was that?
You know, once I dreamt I was eating this giant marshmallow, and I woke up and half my pillow was gone. So that was very disturbing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, everybody has weird dreams.
I dream really weird now. I don't even know where that stuff comes from.
I don't know. You can't be responsible for your dreams. You know, pray about it. If you know, I don't know why you're having dreams with sex with other men. Maybe you need more sex from your husband.
Maybe.
Talk to him
Maybe
about
is she
it.
Watching movies or reading books or something like that?
Well, that's the other thing.
In her head?
I mean,
I don't know.
I tend to have dreams of aliens and spaceships and stuff, and it's real weird stuff, okay? But then what do I watch?
Aliens and spaceships.
Movies about aliens. In fact, at the other morning, I woke up, this is weird. I mean, didn't he make any sense? And what is that? And then I realized I'd watched like 4 hours of aliens on airplanes. I'm bored out of my gordy, stupid airplanes, traveling to wherever to enlighten the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this. I said, well, that's what happens. You get a lot of that stuff in your head. You may try, actually, to fill your head more with the scripture. I mean, actually read the Bible more and meditate on the scriptures. I think if you will try and plant more good things in your head, you'll be less likely to dream bad things. That would just be my
assumption. Play the audio Bible when you go to sleep. That sometimes helps.
Yeah, it really does. So, but having said that, I'm no expert on dreams. Truth is, I'm not an expert on anything. But don't tell anybody.
All right, he plays one on TV.
But I play an expert on TV. But yeah, that's a different one. I would think that she needs to spend more time putting good things in her head and less bad things. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, that I don't know that you can be responsible for your dreams. Can you be responsible for your dreams? Because she feels like she's sinning.
Well,
you know, I mean,
feel like it's in her thoughts someplace.
Yeah, but if it's in your dreams, what are you going to do? I mean, I would pray about it and try and get good things in your head. I've never had dreams where I was killing somebody.
Oh, I have too.
Yeah,
it's awful.
It's usually me that she's killing in her dreams.
No, that I have
the
not.
Morning after these
that
shows.
Would be a dream come true.
Every morning she goes, oh, I killed him again.
Like,
all right. Now, am I guilty of murder?
No.
Well, no. It's just a goofy dream, so I would lighten up a bit and not beat yourself up for your dreams. So I don't know. So number one, you may need just more sex from your husband, because clearly there must be a longing. You know, maybe she's maybe not getting enough physical touch that she dreams. That happens.
That
if you're not
be.
Getting one thing, you'll start dreaming and craving it. The other thing is maybe you're reading too many romance novels or too many chick flicks and stuff like that, and that's getting in your head, inappropriate stuff. Or maybe you just need to get some more good stuff into your head. But that's all I got to say. Yeah, we had an answer.
Yeah, we did.
After
we
a momentary complete silence on this set, which that was a first.
Yeah.
I
think it was.
We should send her a prize.
Have you ever had dreams?
We should send her a Mark Unger bobblehead.
We could.
Have you ever had a dream that was made you so mad when you woke up? Like, I've heard people dream that their spouse has been unfaithful to them, and they wake up and they're furious with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That something happens in the dream, and I can be mad all day long. And it's so dumb, and I keep going, it's a dream, stop that. But
I know. It's really weird. Especially if you're a little... I occasionally, every once in a while, Diane walks through one of my dreams. And I always know it's her. I can't see her. It's kind of just, but I know it's her because I hear this. And that's how I know. And
keep
then she
it
walks
up.
Away. All right, what
else? You don't want to mess with me today. That's all I got to say. Okay, this email says, my father-in-law had an affair. Mm-hmm. He was 61 and has had an affair with a woman who was 39.
Wow.
A sexual relationship happened, as I have been informed. What is my role as a Christian in this situation? I find it bizarre for him to have done this. Am I obligated to approach him? My concern is that my son adores him. The son is 11. My wife now feels the trust in their relationship between
But it's her father-in-law?
It's his father-in-law, so it's his wife's father.
Who's writing?
The husband.
Oh, the husband's writing.
The husband's
okay.
writing, and it's
he
his father-in-law.
Couldn't do the reverse math on that, I guess.
I thought it was the wife. That's why when you said that, I went, what?
No. The husband's writing, okay. And it's his wife's father who had the affair.
Got it.
The wife feels the trust is broken between him and her father now, and that's gone. I personally do not approve of divorce under any circumstances. I have been on good terms with him and his wife ever since, you know, he married the daughter. But what do you do as the outlaw to help? He did say that he has since repented and they're going to try to save the marriage.
If he's repented and turned away from it and asked God to forgive him, you forgive him. That's what you do. Why is this even a question?
But he wants to know, does he approach him? Does he talk to him about
why?
It? Or?
It's not his business. Yeah. He didn't do it. If you know someone has sinned and they won't, if they're Christians. Now, some of you guys get all freaked out because you have unsafe parents or unsafe relatives that act terrible, and you go beat them over the head with the Bible. And they think you're crazy. Don't do that. They're not. There's a different standard between people of who really know God and people who don't. People who don't, you cut them a lot more slack. Really. You just, you know, they can't handle it. But if this is a guy who really knows God in his life and he did something wrong and he's turned away from it, he's asked God to forgive him, it's over. You're done. Move on. The fact that you're still even writing me about this is inappropriate. The fact that you're concerned that, you know, you don't want the son around him. Stop that. What's the matter with you? If God's forgiven him, you forgive him. That's it. You move on. But it was horrible. Mm-hmm. That's what forgiveness is. And guess what? There's a lot of horrible things you've done. You know, it may not be in a natural sense to what you think your father-in-law has done, but trust me, we all have lots of sins, but for the grace of God, there go we all. So just let it go. You should never, ever, 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 ever bring this up again. Do you hear me? Bob? Whatever his name is. Seriously, he needs to let it go, and don't you ever bring it up again, ever. Not if you listen to me and you take anything seriously I say, don't you ever even mention this again, not to your wife, not to your son, not to yourself. You're done. It is gone. He's asked God to forgive him. He's been forgiven. You forgive him. This never exists. Don't you ever breathe it again, and don't write me or anybody else about it. It's over with. That's what you do.
Period. End of sentence.
End of sentence. We're done. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
You say you fear.
We are back on the Mark Gunger Show. Diane Brierley, Phil Gunger, and the amazing Mark Gunger sharing with you our thoughts on your questions about marriage, love, and relationships. Yes, dear.
Okay, she wants to.
Why
are
you giving me the evil eye?
I'm not giving you the evil eye.
You gave me the evil eye there.
I looked at you over the
top. It's the only eye she has.
Yeah, it is.
It's her lazy eye.
It's that one eye.
I just looked at you over the top of my glasses. That's all.
Oh, that's what it was.
It was the warning look. Like, you better knock it off and leave me alone. Or this is going to spin out of control quickly.
Okay,
lady writing. She says, please let me know if my being suspicious of my husband is reasonable. A few years ago, we got into a really big fight, which he said is my fault, and because of this, I found him texting and emailing a couple of ladies. Mm-hmm. When I confronted him about it, he said I made him do it because I made him so mad. I told him that—I thought you were going to say something there. I hesitated so you could jump in.
No.
I told him
prepping
that—
Prepping something, I'm sure.
No, I'm just listening.
He has made me mad numerous times, but I
he
don't go—
He has made me mad. He has made me mad.
Okay. But I don't go and try to pick up guys. He didn't act on those emails, just more like flirting, she says. But I would hate to think what he could have done if he was not caught. But ever since that time, it has made me suspicious of things that he does. That incident has turned me into a wife that checks his email and his text on his phone and who he calls, etc. Uh-huh. When he comes home late at night, I can't help but wonder where he is. I have even researched on the internet to secretly install a tracking GPS on his phone phone just so that I can see where he is. This is so not me, and I hate feeling this way. How can I get over this feeling of suspiciousness every time he walks out the door? Is this normal for me to behave and feel this way? If not, how can I overcome this? We've been married for 30 years.
Yeah.
I know he loves me and he has assured me that he wouldn't do anything to hurt me in that way. I do love him dearly. I want to trust him fully again, but something in me just can't get over that one situation. What should I do? Should I stop trying to look for something that isn't there? Should I just go with what I don't know won't hurt me kind of attitude? It just eats me up sometimes with worry and suspicion.
It's not playing.
Come on.
All this work.
If you missed the perfect song.
Fix this in post if you would, Tim.
I was trying to play the song that explains her situation.
Okay.
Here it is.
No. You crazy. Missed the cue. You missed the perfect musical cue.
Which one is that?
Are you kidding
Suspicion?
Me? Suspicious Minds. Elvis Presley.
I don't know.
What song
is that? I don't know what that is. I'm a spiritual man.
Yes, you do. Elvis,
I'm a spiritual man of God. I don't know these heathen songs.
Elvis Presley, Suspicious Minds. I thought that's what you were going for.
No,
come on.
I couldn't find anything.
You missed it.
I just thought crazy because, look, 90% of what she said is normal. The fact that you want to track him with GPS means you're getting a little crazy in your head. Look, you guys had this horrible thing. He did something inappropriate. You just need to tell him. And you talk. Listen, I understand we had this fight. I know you felt bad, but you need to listen to me. Don't you ever, ever do that again. You understand? You don't get to go flirting with other women or checking other women and say it's my fault. And I would just read him the riot act. That's all. You say what you want, you demand it, and that's it. And you move on. And quit being a little goofy. Look, the bottom line is, you can't control things. Everybody thinks they can control things. Mm-mm. If your husband wants to have an affair, there's not a thing you can do about it. Nothing. Zero, zilch, nada.
You can shackle him in the basement.
Yeah, and it's still figure out a way. I mean, people think, well, I just gotta and watch him and make sure he doesn't do this. Really? You know, if someone's being unfaithful, then you deal with it in the strongest of terms. But the fact that you had this big conflict and that was his response, you need to talk that through with him. Say, listen, we will have issues from time to time. And I might insult you, but it's never okay for you, ever, under any circumstance, for you to go off. The only thing that would justify that is if she went off and had an affair, and then he wanted it. And even that's inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to just talk it through with him, but you need to stop, okay? Or you're going to drive yourself crazy. We'll be back with more right after this.
Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
In the dead of night, wasn't there I started living?
We are back on the Mark Unger Show. And music of Michael O'Brien in the background there. Talking about love, marriage, and relationships. I finally found this song. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever heard it.
Yes, you have.
I'm just going to play it on the fly. Oh, yeah, I know the song.
Yes, you do.
I didn't know what the words were. Because all I heard was, blah, 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 blah,
too much, baby.
That's the only line. It's called Suspicious Minds. Mm-hmm. All right. Now I know.
Okay.
All right.
Next email. The subject line says, old people sex. Ready for it?
Is this a personal attack on me?
I don't know.
Is that what this is?
If the shoe fits, wear it, Mark.
Is this a personal attack?
If the shoe fits, you know.
I'm too old. My shoes don't fit anymore.
Old person.
All right, okay.
You're the old person at the table.
Yes, yes.
She says, got a question. Now that I am older and need more time to get aroused, thus more foreplay, and now is the time also when my husband can't keep it up that long, what are we supposed to do? He doesn't want to deal at all with the foreplay. He just wants to get on top of me and get finished.
Brace yourself, Margaret!
I told him that that was awfully selfish of him.
His idea of foreplay. Hang on, woman!
Mm-hmm.
Come on!
She told him, awfully selfish of him, but I tried to see where he's coming from. He has tried the little blue pills, but he says that it doesn't really work for him. I find that impossible. I miss the intimacy with my husband.
For some people, it doesn't do anything.
Suggestions. Yeah, I know. It might not. It doesn't always work for everyone.
Yeah, so I don't know. Suggestions? I don't know, sweetie. I'll work with it. It's life is complicated. Things change. You get older. I don't know.
Go with the flow.
I mean, I don't know. How about reverse foreplay? Is that possible?
What do you mean reverse? Do explain.
Let him have his quick, and if she's not there, then let him say, okay, we can do it your way, but when we're done, I want you to keep touching me.
Well, and apparently
kissing me
that's the problem. He just hops on, hops off.
Well, that's the problem.
He's the hop on, hop
wax
off.
Wax on, I wax off. Okay. Danielson, you can wax on, but you don't wax off. Okay? I mean, I don't know. Is that possible? Am I making any sense? I don't know. Why
little
is anybody listening to this show?
No, I mean, it makes perfect sense. If he gets there quickly, okay, he just, shall we say.
You've got a very limited window.
Yes.
All right, woman, hang on. This is it. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay, say, okay, but I want
there's
you to
act
keep.
There's
part two.
Part two. Act
yeah,
two.
Act two. So
intermission, part two.
So if that's his version of, and that's the only way, okay, cut him slack, but then say, hey, I want some touching and, you know, whatever, because he can still do that.
Yeah.
People are crazy.
Or he could do it ahead of time. Why can't he do it ahead of time?
But that's what she's saying is, you know, if...
Okay, I don't want to get into the logistics and the technicalities of things here because...
No, I'm just saying, what she's saying is he's got this window and all of a sudden... Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, let's go! I mean, if she's going to keep touching, then what she's saying is all of a sudden, then it's gone.
It goes away.
And it's gone.
So and take then, care of...
when the window...
When the window's open.
Fine, but then say, okay. Hey, I want whatever.
Yeah, and afterwards.
Just tell him.
And that works.
I would think.
That might work.
So...
Well...
That was creepy.
Do you guys want, like, you should have little Barbie dolls or something to go through this? Reverse foreplay. Here, I'll show you.
Reverse foreplay. Afterplay, that would be
afterplay.
Called. Thank you.
Afterplay.
Afterplay.
I don't know if that's such a thing. Is it such a thing?
I don't know. I just made it up.
Okay.
Might be. Might actually.
I think it would just be aftplay.
Aftplay. After?
Well,
four and aft.
Four and aft.
It's not before play.
It's foreplay and aft play. Or Tim said post play.
The post game wrap up.
Starboard play.
Like pregame, post game.
Port play.
Port play. Watch on. Watch off. Okay.
All right. Are you done?
I guess so.
Okay. This one says.
So sex is kind of like sailing.
Sort of.
The fore and aft.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sailors came up with this.
What's
I'm
the other?
Assuming.
Starboard, port, and starboard.
Yeah. I went through that already, but no one's paying attention. Yeah. You can play it. You'll listen to it in post.
I will. I'll listen
bow
to it.
Bow and stern.
Yeah. So it's bow, sex, and stern.
Well, no, that's something completely different.
That's totally different.
Oh!
Now she realizes what she's saying. All right. No, we're getting canceled. Nobody's going to be listening to the show anymore.
You two, you just could have not.
Well, see,
you
that's the problem.
Right over it.
We now you stayed away from it.
You blame me because I inadvertently said something.
Now you know why most shows won't talk about sex. Because it's virtually impossible without talking
you
about
two
sex.
Being juvenile.
What?
You could have let it go. You could have just
we
let it go.
All right.
But you didn't.
All right. Go
okay.
On.
Next email says, about 4 years ago, I became very ill. It's a woman writing. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, the illness is with me. I do try my best, but regular household jobs and looking after children is very hard, and I wear out very fast.
Often. I think I've had that all my life.
That same so.
Because household jobs are very, very hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't do them.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Maybe that's my problem.
And you wear out really fast, and you're often confined to the bed or the couch?
Yes, yes, yes! Mm-hmm. I have the same thing.
You do.
Okay. Now we're making fun
of
her.
You're making fun of you.
Yeah, making
we're
fun
not
of
making
me.
Fun
not
of her. We're making fun of you because you're just lazy.
Lazy, yes. I have lazy.
Yes.
I don't think you have lazy.
No,
she has
she
a physical problem.
Yes,
okay.
Uh-huh. I know I'm difficult to live with and it's been a huge stress on everyone.
I do have that.
You are difficult to live with,
I'm
illness or no.
To the couch or the bed, I can't clean, and I am difficult to live with.
Yes, and it causes a huge stress on everyone.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I wonder what that is.
I don't know.
Have they come up with a...
The difference is you can get off the couch.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
She's
what? Oh, camera back to him. What the heck is that?
He's building things.
He's building a house. Paper. Of paper.
Just let me. This is my space. This is my.
Not a house of cards.
I have to understand. People are watching this show and
my
they look at that.
My safe space.
He can do whatever he wants
I
in
was,
his own little
I
sphere.
I was going through some old notes and just organizing them architecturally.
This is his way of telling you you're boring. He has to find something
much,
to do.
Pretty much, yes. Or he just has a strange mind.
Okay. Anyway, she says that
it's in the genes.
Mm-hmm. I forgot that was there, actually.
Of course, he is like his father. I'm telling you. He's got the same disease coming on him.
I
built
this whole little thing, and I forget it's there.
I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Stress on everyone. Always exhausted, grumpy, angry, in pain, etc. My husband is very angry at me. He seems to hate me.
Oh, that's not good.
Okay. He does do a lot of extra things like running to the store after long hours at work, but he also has no compassion, and it wears me down when I'm told the children and himself are better off without me. Ooh. And that he makes out everything as my fault and that his life is not perfect.
Do you think he actually says that, or she just thinks he says that? It's amazing what people say and what they don't. She says,
I'm told the children.
I'm just telling you, I have been in counseling sessions. Okay. Where one person will tell you, my husband says ABC. And I'll look at him and say, really? He says ABC? Yes. You're telling me your husband says ABC to you. Yes, I'm telling you this. Well, I call him up. We get them both in the room. Why are we here? I said, well, Sally here says that you say ABC to her. And he looks at her and goes, I never said ABC to you. She goes, well, I feel like he does. And it's like, oh, my goodness gracious.
Okay.
I mean, it's like they are delusional. Now, I'm not saying this lady's delusional.
Maybe they had an argument at one time, and out of frustration, he said something.
One time, maybe.
She said, you'd probably be better off without me, and he didn't disagree with her. I mean, it could be a host of things that leads her to believe this, whether he directly or indirectly in her mind said it.
Look, I just know I personally have had conversations with my wife, and I'm trying to come to a conclusion. And when I get done with Ace, she said, looks straight at me. She goes, so what you're saying is B. And I go, what? How did you get that?
Okay.
That's what you meant. That's not what I meant. I said A. I know, but you're, and it's like, so I don't know. Okay. If she has a husband who is taking care of her and everything, and he says to her routinely, what was it?
I would be better off without you. Everything is your fault.
Okay.
And it's because my life is bad.
I'm just saying. I highly doubt it. He would have to be such a creep at a level beyond. And if he was that kind of a creep, he wouldn't help her with anything.
This is true.
So for him to still be engaged and still be there, look, if he was that creep, he would just leave you. He would just dump you. Don't tell me that this man, I don't know, maybe anything's possible. I just think people exaggerate. That's all I can say. I think maybe in one conversation, she misunderstood something, or maybe at a bad moment, he said something that was mean. But if he's still with you and he's still helping you and still doing life with you.
Well, he still might be very angry and very unhappy and very nasty to her, but stay there.
Yeah, I don't know.
People do that.
But if he says that, go sit in your parents' bed and couch.
If he's being that mean and nasty?
If he really was saying those things.
We're better off without you.
Who would say that? What you're saying is, I wish you were dead. I mean, I don't know. All I'm saying is, it's highly likely that she, because of your illness, sweetheart, are viewing things in an exaggerated way. You understand that?
I totally understand that.
That's all I'm saying. I just think if she's really as sick as she says, despite me mocking myself through all of this, if you're really that sick and your body isn't working right, your emotions probably are not working right, and my guess is your filters are not working right either. It's highly possible your husband doesn't go around wishing, and the children wishing you weren't there. It's just not very likely. Maybe it is. If it really is, you shouldn't be emailing me. You should be talking to a counselor. That's the other thing. I mean, if it's really that bad, why should she email? Who emails? Well, if it's that bad, who would email somebody just over something like that? You need some serious, serious help with your family and friends and stuff. But my guess is your sickness is so affecting you physically, you also have to understand it very much probably affects you emotionally, your filters, and you're probably not hearing things as clearly as you need to be hearing them. Is he tired? Is he a little, you know, at some point, you get that way. You know, my wife's been sick she's been struggling for months with sickness, and at times you get frustrated. You're not frustrated at her. I mean, you're just frustrated at the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, you went through chemo, you got frustrated yourself and everything, and it has nothing to do with anything. It's just, that's the problem with sickness. I would just caution you not to read too much into your husband. Does she have a question on all that?
Yeah, anything that you recommend.
Yeah, my guess is, if things are that bad, you really need to get some counseling. My guess is emotions are being affected by your sickness. And it's, you know, if he wanted to leave you, I would just think he'd leave you. So cut him some slack. The people around you, it is hard for them. You're suffering, but you have to remember, they're also suffering. And in this respect, my wife is very good. Mm-hmm. She's constantly aware that this is hard on everybody. Mm-hmm. And she cuts me more slack. She really does. I think there's been some things over the last couple of months that you'd, under normal circumstances, knock my head off. Don't you think?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But she cuts me slack because she gets it.
Because it's hard for
them. It's hard, and she knows it's hard for me too. So when you're going through this, you have to remember it's hard for them. Matt, he might be angry and stuff. Yeah, he may be. But sweetheart, it doesn't mean he's angry at you. You know, it's just life can be really, really hard. And you need to cut everybody's slack. Cut yourself some slack. Cut him some slack. And are they Christians? I don't know if they're not.
I didn't ask.
You know, if not, you know, you might want to connect with a church and really find some people who can pray for you and trust God to turn this situation around in your body. We're going to take a break and be back with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Show with the music of the Reverend Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. What I got there,
okay.
Sunshine.
These two little emails go together because they're kind of the same question. The first one says, my husband and I have a male friend who is 32 and he's dating a 19-year-old woman.
He's a mailman?
He's a mailman?
Did I say that?
Are you against mailman?
Male friend.
Oh, male
Did
friend.
Did I say mailman?
No, you said mailman.
Okay. You never know.
Just messing with your head.
Okay, yeah. So he's 32 and she's 19.
Okay, 32 and 19.
Mm-hmm. My first question is, do you believe in the saying that age is just a number, or do you believe certain age differences can be inappropriate? And the other one, the age difference
is... Well, I think if you're 82 and you're dating, you know...
Someone who's 19.
19, that might be a little inappropriate. If you're 32 and you're dating a six-year-old.
That's bad.
So there are some age things that are... In fact, if you're dating anyone under the age of 10, that's really bad.
Stop that.
Okay.
The other one, she's 24 and he's 35.
Uh-huh.
And she wants to know what your thoughts are about people marrying with significant age difference. She's read there could be concerns with sex, you know, because uh-huh. he's older, or you could become a widow at an early age. What are your views? Will you
that's
discourage
not necessarily bad.
Or encourage?
That's not necessarily, because if you get like really big life insurance policies, and he kicks off, and you get millions of dollars, right? It could be part of her financial planning.
She actually met with her financial advisor.
Her financial advisor suggested.
He's 20 years older than me.
Marry someone who's like 40 years older than you. Mm-hmm. Make sure they have a good policy. Mm-hmm. Hang around for a few years and then cash out.
Cash out.
I don't know. Why does she care? Why does she care?
I don't know. They want to know if the age difference is inappropriate.
Well, I don't know. Again, if it's illegal, it's inappropriate. At some point, it's a little weird.
Like the one
weird.
Guy who was 25 and dating the 15-year-old and wanted to know. Yeah, you told him to go find a nice girl
that
he liked.
Yeah, and he said, no, and I yelled at
15!
Him.
15!
And he stopped.
Yes.
I said, I didn't mean break the law. I'm assuming adults. If you're an adult and you want to marry someone... 40 years your senior.
Just be aware
or younger.
Of the issues because
it is
that's the reality.
Is. I don't know, people aren't stupid. I mean, they get it and they want to do it. Yeah. I know some people with some huge gaps, really, you know, 20 plus gaps. Mm-hmm. They seem to be happy. I don't know. It's not against the law. Will people look at you a little odd? Yes. Will you run into some differences? Yes. Will the older one likely kick off earlier than the younger one? Yes. But even that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I know a guy who was a lot older than his wife
and then
she just recently died and I was. And I remember thinking, wow, never saw that one coming. I thought for sure she was just a widow in waiting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he's still fine, peak of health, you know, and she's long gone. So who knows? I just, in any event, my concern is she's really concerned about what other people are doing. About their age. This is mind your own
business. I don't know. Okay, and then there's another part to this one email because she says this friend, the 32-year-old guy dating the 19-year-old woman, claims that the Lord told him that this young lady is whom he is supposed to marry and is basically making wedding and life plans but refuses to pop the question. So her second question is there anything that supports this? The Lord told me to marry this person.
No, none. Zero zilch. And I won't even go into the rant because these people, you can't talk any sense into them. God told me.
I know what told him. He's 32 and she's 19.
Yeah.
I know exactly what told him.
The Lord told me too. I can tell that stuff going through your head. Ain't the Lord.
Yeah.
God, these people are so full of it. You know, I've had it with these people. They're so spiritual. God tells me this. God, and their lives are a disaster.
Yep.
And then they make a terrible mistake. These are the very same people who get married, and then they're miserable. And then they think, well, God tell me to get a divorce. What is it? God's schizophrenic? Yep. These people, it's part of, quite frankly, and I don't know, do I want to open up a can of worms? I think historically, information from the Pentecostal movement, in an effort to encourage people to listen to the Holy Spirit and stuff like that, they created an environment where people literally think any thought that flies through their head or any emotion they feel is God talking to them. Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's not. So I just know biblically God never tells people to marry anybody. You can't find it in the Bible. If you think you can, email me. We'll have the discussion. They'll talk about, you know, Joseph, Mary, angel telling Joseph to marry. But the angel did not tell Joseph to marry Mary. He just said, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. That's all. It's always your choice.
And then
when Paul the Apostle wrote about marriage, read it. Go read 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, all you spiritual people out there. Show me one place in there where Paul never one time said, pray about who God wants you to marry. You know, and the whole chapter's on marriage. Why doesn't he do that? Because that's not what happens. It's a choice. You choose. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, but it's your choice. You decide to do it. It's up to you. And Paul made this argument. It's up to you. For the love of heaven, choose to be single. That's what he says. That's really the bottom line of 1 Corinthians 7th chapter. He knows it's your choice. My advice, choose to be single. That's what he says. Isn't it interesting that whole time in there, he never one does this thing that all these things people talk about. Well, just ask the Lord, seek God, and see what the Holy Spirit says to you. Apparently, people are a lot more spiritual than the Bible. These people are way more spiritual than the Apostle Paul. All these single people running around waiting for God to give them revelation. They clearly walk a lot closer to Jesus than the poor Apostle. The Apostle obviously was a very unspiritual man who really didn't know God much in his life. Mm-hmm. Really?
Man, everything went flying there. You were pounding so hard.
Yeesh! And it's just pseudo-spirituality. It is phony, baloney spirituality. And here's the thing. People want to spiritualize it because they want to get married, and then they don't want to be responsible for their own actions. Mm-hmm. Well, God told me to do it. God told you to do it.
Then you're unhappy. Well, then maybe God wants you to be unhappy.
All right, take a break. I got to check my medication. We'll be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com. And Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
She was an angel, so it seemed, like mixing whiskey and gasoline.
It's the Diane Brawley song.
She had a voodoo spirit. And a heart gone wild.
Mixing whiskey and gasoline.
I saw that fire.
You just don't know when to quit.
That's so mean.
You are. You're awful.
We love you. We love you. We do.
I'm having
We're
a bad
in love
day,
with you.
And you can't be nice and just smooth it over and make it a better day for me. You have to throw gasoline on the fire and pick at me and make it a worse day. Instead of doing everything you can to go out of your way to make it a better day for me.
Think how much better it makes him feel.
He's a masochist.
It's not about making you feel better. It's about making me feel better.
It would make you a sadist. No, you're a masochist.
It's not, about making you feel worse so much as it is about making
him feel better.
Well, I'm glad that at my expense you can feel happier about yourself.
Oh, you are loved and appreciated in a very strange sort of way. All right.
Okay, she says, I've been dating this guy for 7 months. He's Jamaican, and I have found out that he's in
What's
Boston.
He been Jamaican?
Excuse me?
Wow.
Stop it. That's really
Hey, what you making over there?
We're not going to fit this in if you don't let me finish. Stop it. Be quiet.
Hey, what you Jamaican over there? What?
She found out he's been inboxing women on Facebook in Jamaica.
That's what he's been making.
Telling them that he wants to be in a relationship with them. Yeah. I realize I should not be on his Facebook account, but what is this about? Does it mean that he doesn't really love me? These women are miles away. I just don't get it.
She's dating him?
Yes, for 7 months.
Dump him. Don't. She gets a swirly. The first swirly of the day as we go to the end of the show. Stick your head in the toilet, flush it, and let the water awaken you from your delusions. You silly, 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 silly woman. For the love of God, you're dating this guy and he's flirting with other women. How dense can you be? That's when you dump him. And not just his Facebook, the whole thing, anything you have to do, you unfriend him in every conceivable way on earth. And it's not your job to fix him. He is an unfaithful piece of garbage. Does God love him? I'm sure he does somehow. I don't know where.
But he's Jamaican a fool out of you.
He's Jamaican a fool out of you. Bye!
Bye!